And welcome, friends, to this, the Monday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Monday morning. We're beginning a brand new week of broadcasting live right here in the Grace Hour. Glad you joined us. Hope that you'll be able to stay with us for the next hour as we begin a brand new series all week long, live right here in the Grace Hour. This week's theme will be Holy Grounds, How and Where God Reveals His Presence. And today we'll get things started by looking at Exodus, the third chapter, when God met Moses at the burning bush. So stay tuned for that devotional message coming your way in just a couple of moments. But before we turn our attention to today's devotional message, we do want to remind our listeners that you're going to be able to join us. Following the message today, we'll open the phone lines, begin to take your phone calls, comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, if you should have one, and your prayer requests, which, of course, are always welcome live right here on the Grace Hour. In order to join us, it's really quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and participate during our live broadcast. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America, and would love to hear from those of you that are north of us in Canada, as well as these lower 50 states. You reach out to us, join us live. We'd be happy to take your phone calls, again, following today's devotional message. The local number, our broadcast, comes to you from Baltimore, and we have a local number for those of you in the greater Baltimore area. For you to join us, you would dial 410-483-3700. And we want to welcome all of you that are listening live at gracehour.org on the internet, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And of course, our podcast is going live over the following platforms: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. And we hope that those of you that are tuning in on those platforms enjoy the broadcast today. And we also recognize that many of you, because of your personal schedules, will not be able to listen to this broadcast until a little later. We appreciate, as always, you catching up with us when you can listen to the archive broadcast of the Grace Hour. So thanks again for joining us for today's broadcast, friends. And we do remind you that when those phone lines are open, we hope that many of you will fill up those lines. We look forward to hearing from you. We love to have your comments shared on our broadcast. And if you can't reach us by phone, well, again, use those platforms to send us your comments or ask your questions. GraceHour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And once again, our theme this week, Holy Grounds. Not just one of them, but many of these holy grounds that the Scripture speaks about we'll be highlighting throughout the week here in our broadcast, beginning today from Exodus chapter 3, where God met Moses at the burning bush. Pastor Shibeli here to bring forth today's message. Welcome.
Amen. Now, I don't want you to leave because right this moment, you don't want you to read for me Exodus 3, 11 through 14, because I didn't get my new glasses yet. So These make it very difficult to see small Bibles.
I hear you.
So if you would just read that for me, that would be extremely helpful.
So we're looking at
Exodus 3, 11 through 14.
All right. Here we go, friends. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth this people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, that I am hath sent me unto you.
Amen. Father, bless our time today. For this 1 hour or a little bit less than that we have together. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses met God, and certainly he's on his backsliding journey after he killed an Egyptian in Exodus chapter 2. and he moves out and is running away from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and all alone in this desolate desert place. And all of a sudden, rather than looking at this place as just a desert, being alone, a wilderness, a place where, I mean, who would he even meet there? All of a sudden, he goes and finds himself on holy ground. He's there and he meets God himself there. And he has a question about, you know, his sending forth back into Egypt. And he said unto him, as we heard read, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Who am I?" And I love God's answer. You tell him that I am is sending you. He's asking a question in his insecurity, his fear, his human reason, and his doubt. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Don't you realize I'm running away from that place? I'm on my way out of that place, and you want me to go back there? And even if that wasn't part of the story, but it is, even if that wasn't part of the story, I mean, just to have him go to Pharaoh and proclaim this initiation about letting my people go and letting the people of Israel come out of Egypt, where they were in bondage for hundreds of years, so many years in bondage. And so God's answer to him, and this really reveals the presence of God. Who am I is Moses' question. In other words, he doesn't even know who he is. He really doesn't know who he is in God's purpose and in God's plan. And God says to him, "You want to know my name?" And by the way, that means more than just knowing a name, like, you know, this is Sebastian, or this is John, or this is Stephen, a name. But he really is speaking of the word onoma, which means my character, my nature, and my character. And I am that I am. And I love that answer. I am that I am is the one who will be sending you. And so he adds an I am to Moses' life in one aspect, one principle, application. Moses says, "Who am I?" And God says, "I am that I am." And this is an amazing truth. And you're going back to Pharaoh, okay? You left Egypt, and you were actually operating in the presence of fear, doubt, your old sin nature, who you are outside of your calling, your authority, your security in God. That's how you left. That was the presence that you were operating in, the presence of your own humanity. But now you're going back in the presence of God, in the presence of God, in the character and nature of God. For us to explain the word presence in the Hebrew language, and even in the New Testament Greek from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the end of the chapter, the word presence really speaks of God's person. God's presence speaks of his person, that God is a person. His character, his nature, his life, his work on the cross. What does the presence of God mean? You know, it's not just some feeling that a person has when they walk into church, or they open their Bible, or they're in a certain place in some holy mountain somewhere, where they are kind of like trying to escape the presence of evil, which, by the way, you can never escape, because the old sin nature that dwells in me and you, that's evil. So, well, we can't run away from that, because wherever we run to, guess who's with us? The old man is with us. So he is saying to him, "I am that I am." You're going to go back with God's presence, with God's character, in the person of God, in his name, in his person, in his work, in his life. You're going back in the presence of God, in the presence of God. And this is so key. This is what would make a difference. Would he still have fear? Will we still have fear at times? Yes, but it will not be a controlling fear. Will there be insecurity and doubt at times? Yes, there can be those things, but they are not the controlling factors in my decision-making about where I am going and who I am operating in. The presence of God. Now, the first question we had for our week of devotions on this subject is, very simply, How in the presence of God? How do I live in the presence of God? Well, I want to say first and foremost, being born again, obviously, is where we start. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. So God's presence is in you if you're saved. If you're not saved, his presence is not in you. It might be around. It might be even in the church that you go to. But the presence of God in me is based upon the person of the Holy Spirit making me a new man in Christ. If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the new man, the Holy Spirit living in the person, he's not just the power, he's a person who lives in us when we are saved by grace. Born of the word in 1 Peter 1:21 through 23. Saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 5 and 8. Born of the Spirit, John 3:3 through 7. So the presence of God, the new man in me. That's how. Number two, the presence of God in the church. In other words, Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 speaks about seven churches, and he was in the church. One of them he was knocking at the door on the outside. But I'm talking about in the church, in a church, a spiritually born-again church based upon the foundation of God's word, God's purpose, God's nature, God's character. I should find the presence of God in the church. Obviously, if the church is not operating and really responding to and propagating and living in the Bible, the Word of God, and being led by the Spirit and being under grace, then you can go to a church that might even have born-again people in it, but maybe there'll be no presence of God there. So the presence of God in me as a born-again believer, the presence of God in the church. I think another place you'll find the presence of God is in the gospel, in the gospel, in the propagation of the gospel. We find the presence of God. Next, we find the presence of God in his word. Jesus said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So as you read and study the word, remember what Jesus said? Remember what it said in John 5:39 and 40, and reflecting on Psalm 40, verses 7 to 11. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I'm in the book, and the book is, I am the book. I am the word of God. We will find God's presence in the scriptures. As we pray over them, we think about them, we study them, we find his presence in the scriptures, and we'll find his presence in God's eternal purpose for each and every one of our lives. So, how to find the presence of God and where to find the presence of God? Now, the presence of God in me, in the church, well, what about in the gospel? How about in my family? Should God's presence be in my family and in my home? Absolutely. How about in the place that I work, my occupation? If I'm there, is not God's presence there? If God's presence is in me and I'm there. So where we find the presence of God in the church, in the person that's a believer, and it needs to be in my family, in my home, in my place of work, in my daily life, the presence of God. This is what makes all the difference. Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence is fullness of joy. So we have a great privilege as a believer to be people who are in the presence of God, in his presence. Moses said to God, and I think this is very interesting, in Exodus 33, 14, 15, 16, and 17, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't carry us up. Don't bring us up. If you're not coming with us, I don't want to go up. Going up without you is kind of the worst case scenario I could think of. But going up with you means absolute victory because your presence is with us. And I will give you rest. You know, you find rest in the presence of God. Maybe some people never find rest even as born-again believers because they somehow miss the places where the presence of God is found. In the local assembly, in the church, in the gospel, in the word, in the purpose of God, and taking those things into the home and into the family. So May God bless our program today, which is not a program. It's actually a presence of God, the presence of God on the airways today. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus, and thank you, God, for you have given us, sinners saved by grace, the person of the Holy Spirit, so the presence of God is with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. Thank you so much for joining us, and we trust you enjoyed today's devotional message. And we're just getting started on this week's theme right here in the Grace Hour, Holy Grounds, How and Where God Reveals His Presence. And Pastor Schiavelli outlined for us today in that devotion all of those different places in which God reveals His presence. I love that thought in Exodus 33 where Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us. It's almost as if he was saying, we would be better off in the desert with your presence than to go into a land of promise without it.
Sure.
We need that. We can handle anything in life.
With God's presence.
Exactly.
Yes.
But without it, there's not much that we can handle.
And that means maybe I would face trials, but the presence of God is with me. Okay. If I face the trial without the presence of God, then that trial becomes really something that's larger than I can handle. A temptation, but I'm in the presence of God. Okay? Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, but he was in the presence of his Father. You know? And that is so key. And the word actually sometimes can even be kind of defined as even the word for face. The word for face, the presence of God. I'm in not just the face of God, but in the heart of God and the plan of God. And I think so many people, and by the way, the presence of God is not a feeling. Some people want to, you know, like, well, I don't feel the presence of God is here. Well, you know, are you basing God's presence on how you feel in your emotions, or is it based on the truth of the Bible? And I had asked somebody from the Dominican Republic to call. I don't know if they will tell us what's going on out there. Pastor Ken Fires, Pastor Julian Matthews in a convention over the weekend there. And it was amazing. So we were in Brooklyn, New York yesterday, and I want to hear about the presence of God in the Poconos.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
God's presence?
Yes.
We presence in the Poconos.
Yeah, and I love that. It isn't a feeling. It's a fact.
Yes.
It's a fact that the presence of God is with us. You know, so often you hear believers praying, God, please bring your presence. Why don't they just acknowledge the fact that your presence is with us?
Yes.
You're born again.
Yeah.
And you're together and assembling with other believers. You should just start out by thanking him for his presence.
For his presence in your life, the Holy Spirit.
Not asking him to bring it. It's already there. He's already there.
Exactly.
But we did. We had a tremendous time in the Pocono Mountains, our annual spring rally, held a little later than typically we would hold it. This being the middle of May, usually it's the beginning of May, but we were able to secure a campsite that was available to us. And I would say there are close to 200 of us there.
Wow.
And it was a great turnout from many different states. Several different groups of young people came, and God visited us with his presence, the anointing and the messages. And we had a lot of young people, Bible college students, sharing some thoughts with the younger people. And some youth pastors that came and brought their respective groups from different states. And God moved. I mean, you could just sense, based upon the conversations that I heard, apart from the meetings, the young people were not only listening to what we were sharing with them, but really, you know, meditating on it, thinking about it, then talking about it with other peers
engaged
that were there.
Engaged
well.
In it.
They were. Engaged. They were really talking about the essence. And our theme, Pastor Schiavelli, was finishing strong. Because in the kingdom of God, God's not impressed with how you start. It's how you finish that matters.
I think that's important. And that's called the finished work. No.
We talked about the finished work a lot. I mean, that's the motivation behind us finishing strong, to be sure. But just a lot of thoughts on the importance of finishing strong. We brought this out to the young people. Not finishing impeccably, not finishing perfectly, not without setbacks and failures and maybe sinful struggles. No, It just means that when you stumble, you get back up, and you just keep moving in the right direction. And then God, with his presence, will guide us to the finish line.
I mean, here's Jacob. He's actually, in Genesis 28, he's leaving the promised land, where, you know, you believe the presence of God is in the promised land. He's leaving the promised land, and he comes, crosses the Ford Jabbok, and he comes to Bethel. And he said, you know, all of a sudden he got a vision of the ladder and angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. And he said, and this can happen in anybody's life. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I didn't know it. And there can be those instances, right, in our lives where I'm not taking a job there. I said, you know, somebody offered me a job in a prison one time. And I said, I'm not working in no prison. Are you kidding me? This was a prison where everybody was sentenced for life. And it was all, you know, heavy crimes. And I thought to myself, some of them are already in here for murder. To kill another person doesn't change the sentence. I don't know if I want to do this. This is ridiculous, you know. But, you know, when I took the job, I found the presence of God in that place, you know. And maybe where I think I'm going to find God's presence, if it's not God's will for me to be there or his purpose, that I don't sense the presence of God there for me individually. So it's like the presence of God and the life of God, the character of God, the spirit of God, his presence. So sometimes people think about, like, even the mission field or doing something, you know, and they think like they're thinking ahead of themselves, and they're thinking like, I'll never be God there. And that's the very place they're going to meet God. Maybe the place that they decide to stay in, well, they don't experience God's presence. Yeah. And that's how God moves them on, you know.
Amen.
I found out some of the things I was doing in my in my church in the 80s. I used to do them with such joy and had such favor from God, and it was so peaceful and fruitful. And I found out when God called me onto something else, and I stayed up a bit longer in that place than I should have, I just felt that I wasn't meeting God in the very things that I used to meet God in. But I realized it was God's way of moving me on, of moving us on, you know. So the presence of God and how important that is in a classroom. You could be a Christian and you're sitting in a public school system, and there's an unbelieving teacher and unbelieving students around, but you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you bring the presence of God into that classroom. Don't be intimidated. Don't. Wherever we go with the gospel. We bring the presence of God into the city of Baltimore. We bring the presence of God into the Poconos. We bring the presence of God into Brooklyn, New York. We were there yesterday. We bring the presence of God into Philadelphia, where we were on Saturday. And it's because God is with us. And by the way, didn't God promise that, Pastor Love? Lo, I am with you, how often? A few days?
Always.
A few months?
Always.
A few years?
Always.
When you get older?
Always.
Always. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So the presence of God, the presence of this program could use your call.
Yeah.
Your initiation.
Right.
Come
That's
on
right.
now.
That's right.
Did
you
Give
join
us a call from, I was hoping from the Dominican Republic. Or somebody from Uganda or Europe or Eastern Europe or South America. Pastor Stan, you could tell us about the South America conference that's coming up in December. All kinds of ideas. Somebody from India, where Pastor Schaller was, or Bangalore, Mumbai, people from Nepal. Have we ever had anybody from Nepal call?
Yes, we have. Pastor Rajan has joined us in the Grace Hour before. So, yes, all of those places and more, you know, yes. South America, how about South Carolina? Give us a call.
That's
South Dakota,
idea. How about Kentucky?
Give us a call. Yeah, Kentucky.
Las Vegas?
Absolutely.
Can you find the presence of God in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Pastor.
They call it
Pastor,
the city of
Pastor
sin.
John can.
They call it the city of sin, but it can be the city where God's presence is.
Hey, where sin abounds, grace does much more.
Much
about.
More. Wasn't there a certain city in Massachusetts, the city of sin?
Lynn, the city of sin. You never come out the same way you go in.
That's not the good news.
No.
That's bad
news. But that's why we brought the gospel to Lynn, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Lynn, Massachusetts. Wow.
If you're living in Lynn,
please don't take it personally.
That's right. Just remember, even if sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, the phone lines are open. Great time for you to join us, friends. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number anywhere in North America. And the local number right here in the Baltimore area for you to join us, friends, is 410-483-3700. Carol asks a question. Practicing his presence, what exactly does that mean?
Where is that question?
The last one. Practicing his presence, what does it mean? Yes.
Practicing his presence. Well, practicing something is when I'm mixing faith with it, okay? I'm mixing faith with the truth of the gospel. So, in other words, I'm going to work today, all right, in an office. And I come in, I've read my Bible in the morning, or maybe even if I didn't, I prayed. And I come in there, and I want to mix faith with the truth of God's word, that I am an ambassador for Christ, okay? So here's the truth, that I'm an ambassador. How do I practice the presence of God? By mixing faith with the truth of God's word. And then the Holy Spirit will take that and move with that in that particular location. So practicing his presence. Not allowing the evil atmosphere that permeates this world, or something that could take place. Maybe trouble is taking place and is overwhelming the presence of the atmosphere. Trouble, a trial, sin, failure, a situation, an environment, whatever it may be. But I'm going to practice the presence of the Lord and mix faith with God's word and trust God.
Beautiful.
Practicing.
Hopefully that helps you, Carol. Thanks for the question. June has written to us and says, I need prayers for healing. I'm currently in the hospital with breathing problems. My family is, she's having trouble with her family. A lot of warfare, she says, going on. So, mm-hmm. Father, we pray for June.
Yes, God.
First of all, for the healing of her body and these breathing issues and problems that she's having. Lord, please give the doctors wisdom as she is being treated, even at this hour in the hospital. And we pray for her family situation, which sounds like it's some warfare going on. That we just pray, Father, that you would, with your presence, give her a mm-hmm. peace that passes understanding, heal her body, and deal with some of these issues that are going on in her family, Father. And we pray that she would, again, recognize and acknowledge your presence in all that's happening in her life and count on it, reckon on it to be there. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And Tess says the joy of Christianity is in the Christian life is knowing that we have a brand new life in Christ, in his presence, not dwelling and striving, but in him we have our being in Acts 17:28. Good thought, Tess.
I mean, I was thinking that, you know, as I was working in a prison, I mean, it was like, wow, the presence of evil, you know, people with old sin natures, plus like demonically oppressed people, and even the people that were running the prison and the guards. And I was wondering which people were worse sometimes, you know, by their verbal statements. I was wondering if they should switch sides, open the cell and put the guards. No, just having fun. But it was like, wow, what a place. But you had to just trust God and mix faith and bring God's presence into that place. And that can happen in anybody's place, wherever they may be. In their house, in their neighborhood, at their job, in a game, you know, in a sports event.
That's right. Everywhere, anywhere for the believer.
Everywhere.
Well, those anywhere. Phone lines are open. We're waiting to hear from you, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. We have a listener joining us locally right here in the Baltimore area. George, welcome to the Grace Hour, George.
Thank you, Pastor Love. Thank you, Pastor Schiavelli, for that devotion. That was beautiful, sir. And what I was thinking about when you were talking about the great I am and, you know, how the Lord is with us always, and I was saying how important it is for us to remember that when we're out on evangelism. You know, I could just thinking about God's presence when we go out, you know, just sharing Christ, you know. And if you could comment a little bit about that, sir, I'd really be blessed.
Well, that was, that's the relationship to God's presence and the gospel mission that we're on. We were in Philadelphia on Saturday. And, you know, thank God for his presence, because maybe it was not a normal response that you find maybe in an American city, per se. I mean, some people that just, they just walk right by you, and they don't even, like, acknowledge that you're a human being trying to give them a gospel tract, you know? And then there's other that would look at you, take a tract, and then say, I'll read this later. And then there'd be a few people, there'd be a few that would just stand and talk with you for a few moments. But because you're operating in the perfect plan of God and in the presence of God, I'm not going to let the results change what I'm making for decisions about going to be there. You know, it's not going to be about, well, nobody wanted to really listen to me today. If I'm operating in God's presence, God's listening. I'm listening to him. He's listening to me. And that's amazing. You know, so when I go out there with that certainty, remember what God said to Moses in Exodus 3? Certainly I will be with you. Certainly. Not maybe. Not possibly. Not if you're a good boy. Certainly I will be with you. And I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so when we know that to be true, we just walk in God's presence. And his presence can take me through situations where maybe there seems to be absolutely no response from anybody at all, or nothing seems to be taking place. But I'm in the presence of God.
Yeah. And George, I know that when you go out, and like so many of the groups that go out and evangelize the lost, you always start with a prayer, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
praying,
absolutely.
Praying that God's presence would guide you, lead you to those that need to hear the gospel the most, and that you'd be filled with the Spirit, that you would know how to give an answer to anyone that asks about the hope that's within you. So, again, that's a great way. I mean, it's not like you're stepping out in your own ability or resources, but you're saying, God, we can't do this without you. We need your presence.
Amen.
Hey, thank you, George. We got other callers. We appreciate you joining us.
Amen.
Love you.
God bless you. Let's go next to Mumbai, India.
Craig.
Craig is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Craig,
we
welcome.
We are the church that can't be defeated.
Yes, indeed.
Remember that song?
Pastor Chevelli, wow, such an amazing message to hear. I love the point of how when we gather together, we can just thank the Lord for his presence.
Yes.
Instead of calling his presence, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We had such an amazing conference 2 weeks ago with Pastor Shala and the team. Our theme was clothed with humility. And I believe that's when we really experience the presence of God. When we come in, you know, when we come in with that spirit and with that clothed with humility, that's when we see God magnified.
Wow.
So thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So you had a great time there. I heard that was a great response from people.
Yes, we were.
And then he went
in
out
Mumbai, we were more than 550 people. It was one of our highest numbers. And wow. It's just beautiful to be together after 3 years of, you know, with COVID and all of that, and just to fellowship and just to be united in Christ. And yeah, so beautiful. And experiencing the presence of God, which can move mountains, you know. So that was truly amazing.
We saw the video in church yesterday that Pastor Shala took of all of those precious believers, every smiling face, everyone waving,
right.
And it really looked like, and of course, Pastor Schaller hasn't stopped talking about how wonderful it was, and the presence of God was just so powerful. All of us, we were all wishing we had been there with him.
Next time, you join us.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. How's your sister doing?
Yeah, she's doing well. She's working, but she's doing well.
Okay.
Absolutely well.
Give her our love. Anyway. Craig, thank you for joining
us. I will see you in October.
Certainly. Yeah, come down in October. Yes.
October,
yes.
I'll be there. Yes. You have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for your faithfulness and your grace. It encourages the world over. So thank you for doing what you are doing. Really, thank you.
Amen.
Thanks. Craig. Great to hear from you. Amen. Thanks for making the call.
Most welcome. See you. Goodbye.
God bless. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And the local number right here in Baltimore, you can join us locally, friends, at 410-483-3700.
Mm-hmm.
Tess asked us to pray for Arthur, who is, I believe, visiting Sweden from Massachusetts, but he got COVID and he's also confined due to food poisoning.
Wow.
So he's listening from a Malmo Hospital. So, Father, we pray for
God.
Arthur, again, clear his body completely of that food poisoning, and also just raise him up from the COVID virus, and we pray that you would restore him to good health as the body of Christ around the globe believes you to do it, because many times we simply don't have because we don't ask. We're asking in the name of Jesus for healing for Arthur. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Lester Pinto has written to us, says, Pastor Schiavelli, we had an awesome conference here in Mumbai, and we thank Home Base, the Home Base Church, for sending Pastor Schaller. For all your prayers, your love, support, it means a lot to us here, as many came from all parts of the country and other countries for this conference, and we were deeply blessed as we surely felt the presence of God in a fresh, new way. Yes, indeed they did. Wow. And Pastor Schaller using a map last night in the church service, showing us the different parts and places in India where these believers all gathered for this conference were, and other countries as well, Bhutan and Nepal.
Bhutan, yeah.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was just incredible. Some people in Nepal took a train, 2 days' journey to get to Mumbai just to be there for the conference.
Not a two-minute journey, not a two-hour journey.
Two-day
journey.
On a train.
I think they were pretty serious about coming.
I'll bet they wanted to be there.
I think they wanted to be there.
Amen.
Wow.
You know, Pastor Schiavelli, we're talking about the presence of God, and I think that believers, they don't have a difficult time, you know, assuming that the presence of God will be with them in church, mm-hmm. at the Bible study, during the prayer meeting, mm-hmm. during the convention. But the great thing about the presence of God is that he's not only with us in those places, he's also with us in the storms, mm-hmm. in the trials of life, when we're tested, in difficulties, tribulation. He's in a difficult marriage.
Yeah.
He's in a crisis. Yes. He's in a hospital room. He's in an emergency room. Yes. He's everywhere.
I mean, they're in this
with the
boat.
Believer.
Yeah, they're in this boat, and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. They're in a storm. Jesus is in the boat. Did they forget? I mean, you know, like the presence of God was actually bodily with them right there, you know. We're going to perish. We're going to die. They're screaming. I wonder if Peter's voice wasn't the loudest, you know. We're going to perish. And these are fishermen. They know the ropes. They know the Sea of Galilee. And they, by the way, they know the storms on the Sea of Galilee. But he just gets up and rebukes the wind and the sea. And that's it.
And a calm came. And even there are other instances where they were in the boat alone, but mm-hmm. the storm became his path to get to them.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, don't worry about the storms of life. Mm-hmm. See the storm as a means of God's way to get to you and to bring deliverance into your
life.
Yeah,
that's what people say. Oh, well, I can't wait till this trial goes away. Listen, there's always going to be trials. There's always going to be
warfare.
It'll
just be replaced,
you know,
by another one.
Yeah, so enjoy God's presence in the midst of the mountain or the valley. Remember they were up in the mountain and said, oh, it's so good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And the Father's voice came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Just listen to him. And as we hear from God and the Spirit and the Word, we're in the presence of God. And they come down from the mountain, and guess what? There's a demonically possessed boy in the valley.
That's right.
You know, they thought, oh, let's go back up to the mountain. Let's run back up to the mountain. Let's run back to the church building. No, we are going to live our lives before God and in his presence, regardless of what situation, what storm, what test, what trial, what problem. These are things that are there. This is life.
That's right.
This is what takes place. So.
And you can't live on the mountain.
No.
You can't. Fruit doesn't grow on the mountain, does it?
At all.
You got to come into the valley.
Oh, you got to come to the valley.
But don't forget, he's the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. Let's go to the phones again. Harry is joining us from the greater Baltimore area. Harry, welcome to the Grace Hour. What are your thoughts?
Thanks, Pastor Steve and Pastor John, for this broadcast today. When George called in, I just had a call in because I remember he was talking about the soul winning, and Mark 16 says that's what God promises to be with us, you know, the Lord working with them. And It's a blessing, you know. I mean, the presence of God, it's the most holy place, you know, most holy place.
Harry, we're having a hard time hearing you because there's a lot of background noise.
Walking into the city, yeah. Thanks, Pastor. I appreciate the broadcast today. Praise God. The presence of God is there to heal.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. A little difficult to capture his thoughts there. A lot of background noise.
background noise.
Deborah says, great thoughts today. Thank you. God bless you. And Laird Bean says, the presence of God is so precious in the body of Christ, and it's so good to hear often on the show from my friend George Hayes. We go way back to the early days of the New Jersey ministry. How about that? Isn't that something?
Oh, New Jersey.
Yeah, that was with Pastor Wright.
Wow.
Back in, well, many decades ago.
Decades ago.
Yeah, incredible. Here's a thought, Pastor Schiavelli, from Psalm 51. We know that it's David's psalm of repentance, and he confesses his sin, and he acknowledges it. He asks God to wash him and cleanse him from his sin. He reminds himself and God that he was shaped in iniquity, and in sin his mother conceived him. And then he wanted to be restored, and he wanted to be brought back into fellowship with God. But his request in verse 11 of Psalm 51 was, Lord, please don't cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, we know that's not a New Testament prayer. No believer need pray, please, God, don't take away your Holy Spirit. But it's interesting that his real heart's desire comes forth. It's brought out in this Psalm 51. Because David said, you know, I don't care if I lose my kingdom. I don't care if I lose my throne. I don't care if my armies don't want to follow me anymore. I can live without all of those things, but I cannot live without your presence.
Right, and he's speaking there, obviously, experientially, not a position, because you can never lose the person of Christ and your position in Christ. So, in other words, like, I'm going through a very difficult valley in my life, and I need to experience your presence. I really do. And I think certainly when I sin, I don't experience God's presence. When I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I can experience the presence of God again. Positionally, I never lose his presence in me. Mm. Experientially, it can be like, wow, what's going on in my life? You know,
yeah.
Based upon wrong decisions that I make, I can find myself not experiencing God's presence, even though I'm born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I mean, you can even, as a believer, you can lack the assurance of your salvation.
Sure.
You can wonder, where do I stand with God?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have good teaching that shows you and reveals to you that you have a perfect standing before God, but your present state, if it's in sin, jeopardizes that fellow. What's lost? Not your union, but you forfeit your communion with Christ.
Your communion with God, absolutely.
So I think that's what David was saying. But I love the fact that essentially, you know, when all of this went wrong in his life, even though he is the king in Israel, even though he is leading the nation, what's most important to him is the presence of God. I cannot live without the presence of God.
Yeah, that's great, because I wonder. I'll never be able to live if I lose my job. I'll never be able to live if I can't make my house payments. I'll never be able to live if people don't like me. I'll never be able to live, you know. No, I live in the presence of God, and that is more important than anything.
Yeah.
And God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5-6.
Amen. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free. Locally, right here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Shirley is waiting to join us on the Grace Hour. Shirley, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, hi. Thank you for being there all the time.
Amen.
I don't want to be familiar with that. I mean, every day you can tune in to Grace Hour, and I say thank you, thank you. Hey, you know what? The presence of God, even if they, like, we think nobody got touched, or, I mean, the work that God does in us, plus you're with the body, you know, that's the best. So anyway, a couple of things. Keep me in prayer, because you know what? The world is in my street. It's Turkey. It's Nepal. It's Albania. Anyway, I'm having a blast with all the Muslims. I spoke to 5 people that are all Muslims, and they were all very cordial and very nice. And one was a priest. And I goes, well, where do you go? And he said, I go to Johns Hopkins, and I tell people to be happy. To be happy. You know what? The thing is, I don't know what the scripture is, but I'll find out. God is our high priest, and he, in weakness, can identify with us. But see, they never talk about weakness. But anyway, just keep me in prayer, because I just love the idea. I can walk out my door, and I can talk to somebody, because it's great. It's
yeah.
Amazing.
You're reaching the world right here in the Baltimore area.
It is amazing. And another thing I want to say, this is the reason, too, why I called. Can we have envelopes made up for the new dorm for our Bible college students that are coming from abroad?
Yes. Now, let me share with our listeners, Shirley, what we're talking about, because many of them don't realize that we are currently, as part of the vision of the Greater Grace World Outreach here in Baltimore, we want to build a new dormitory on our property for foreign students for our Bible college. And it's going to need quite a bit of money. We're going to have to raise it. But that's the vision that you're referring to, just so that our listeners understand that. So maybe if the Lord puts it on their heart to help out. But we're talking about having foreign students come here from their respective countries and being trained in Maryland Bible College and Seminary, and then perhaps going back to their own countries or even other countries to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. So, yes, we'll look into that. Maybe we can do just that. Envelopes, or like we raised the money for our gymnasium many years ago with the wheelbarrow.
Yes, God did it.
Amen.
We put our pennies in the wheelbarrow. We can put our pennies in the envelope and let God do the rest.
Amen. We won't despise the day of small things. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you so much.
You know, there's an interesting thing. The three last statements that John Wesley made before he went home to be with the Lord, and I think these are three very powerful statements. The first statement he said when he was dying, this was at the end, when he was going on into eternity, he said, "The whole world is my parish." And not parish, P-E-R-I-S-H, parish, P-A-R-I-S-H. The whole world is my vision. I have a vision for the whole world. Number two, he said, "God buries his workmen, but continues his work." That's an interesting statement. God buries his workmen, but continues his work. But then number three, he said, the best of all is God is with us. God is with us. They say he raised his hands up in the air, said the best of all is God is with us. Then he passed.
Wow.
That was it. You know. But yeah, the presence of God in life and in getting dying grace, whenever that means, you know. And the presence of God, the life of God. God's presence is God's life. God's life. And really, like, somehow tuning into the presence of God rather than the presence of the physical situation or the circumstance that you're in. I'm gonna just connect with God's presence, because I don't know, this might never change. By the way, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Hello, trouble. Okay, it's on every side. It's everywhere. But in the presence of God, there's amazing peace, power, life, blessing, joy, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to that statement you made. Don't liken the presence of God to a feeling. It's a fact. Count on it. Reckon on it to be so.
Right.
And but just believe God's promise. If Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age," just accept that and embrace that by faith, that that's a fact,
yes,
whether you feel that presence or not. Because oftentimes we don't feel it, but we know it's a reality.
Actually,
you know, to go back to what you shared earlier in your devotional thoughts, when, you know, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And, of course, Moses began by saying, "Who am I?" Isn't it fascinating, when you stop and think about it, how God answered that question? Rather than saying, "Oh, Moses, well, you know, you were plucked out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. You attempted to deliver Israel in your own strength, and then you became a fugitive. You fled into the desert. But now you've been out there for 40 years, and who better to lead my people through the wilderness than you, with all of the experience?" He never even brought up any of the credentials that he answered Moses' question, which was, who am I, by saying, let me tell you who I am.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
In other words, that's our identity too. We're not going to discover our identity apart from who God is.
And that question that Moses asked, you know, really, with his insecurity and his fears and whatnot, like, who am I? I can't do this. You must be kidding me, you know? And God says, of course you can't. I already know that. But I am that I am. We'll do this. We'll perform this. And that's the key, really, to our Christian life. I am that I am ascending you. You know?
I almost think that it's healthy when God speaks to someone and plans to use them to propagate his name and to share his gospel. I think it's almost healthy that that man or woman says, well, who am I? Because it almost insinuates, I don't have what it takes. I don't have any ability. I don't have any, at least from my perspective, any gifts or strengths that God could utilize. But maybe God chooses the weak and the despised and the rejected of this world. And again, in their weakness, he magnifies his strength.
Me? Gideon? Midianites?
You said the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm my tribe is the least in Israel. My family is the least in the tribe, and I'm the least in my family. Three leasts, and you're the one that's going to go. Now, let me give you a little idea as we close the show. Every time Dr. Stevens would do Grace Hour in the chapel, remember years ago it was in the chapel, I made sure that I never, even when it was freezing cold outside, I never walked in the chapel to come to where I was stationed working, because I never wanted him to call me and say, would you come and say something on Grace Hour? Because I said, I'm not doing that. I'm never going to be on that show. So I would avoid it totally. I would go outside so I didn't have to walk by him. In case, even if he saw me in the back of the chapel, simply like, come up here. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going near that. I'm not going on this a show that's live around the world. It's not going to happen. Nope, not going to happen. I think it was a little fear.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of fear.
Well, but here you are.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
That's how God operates so often. But I kind of love that, because it implies that there's humility in the heart of the one that God is speaking to. God is calling. God wants to raise up. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because when Moses, in his first attempt to deliver his people, he failed miserably.
Flesh.
Yeah, in his own power, in his own strength. And, of course, you knew he was headed for disaster, because before he slew that Egyptian, those infamous words, he looked this way and
that way,
right?
Yeah.
In other words, if I do this, will I receive praise from men or blame from men? And I think that you're not ready to be used by God until you become perfectly indifferent to either the praise or the blame of men.
And then he buried his sin. Instead of letting God bury our sins in the depths of the sea, he buried what he did in the sand.
Didn't work too well at all.
Guess what, Moses? We're coming after you, you know? But it was all in the plan of God to drive him away to meet God, you know?
It's fascinating to think that, you know, God said, look, Moses, you made a terrible mistake, you know? And I can use the hockey analogy. Time for you to go into the penalty box. Not for 2 minutes, not for 5 minutes, and not for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
How about 40 years?
Yeah.
But you know what, Pastor Schiappelli? If you go in the penalty box and the coach, in this case, of course, it's God, jumps in there with you and teaches you and trains you, it's not a waste of time.
No, you come out and score a hat trick, 3 goals.
There you go.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Sorry, friends, for using the hockey analogy, but both of us are former hockey players.
Former? You still play, don't you?
Yes, I'm still playing, so. It resonates with me.
It resonates. That's good.
A couple of minutes left before we sign off on today's broadcast, but this is going to be a great week, friends, because we've started today talking about holy grounds, how and where God reveals his presence. And, of course, we started in Exodus chapter 3. Tomorrow we'll be looking at Joshua chapter 5, when the captain of the Lord of hosts appeared to Joshua. But before we get there, how about let's hear from Pastor Brent Kalinga in Columbia. Not Columbia, Maryland, but the country of Colombia in South America.
Hey, Medellin, Colombia.
Welcome. ¿Qué pasa?
Hey, you know, Pastor Love, when you mentioned about the weak, despised, and rejected, it's like that just beckoned me to call.
You thought we were talking to you.
Yeah, I saw the code there, and I was like, hey, call them up and let them know that anybody can go anywhere in the world and be able to live in the call of God.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
No, we just had a lot of that expressed through people in our church, people going out by faith, people being on Grace Hour by faith, people. I mean, it's just amazing. We listen to Grace Hour a lot, and it's an incredible venue for us.
Yep. Amen. Tell us what's happening in Columbia. You've been there for some time now.
Yeah, we've been here for a few months. Last night it was great. We had over 20 people at our house, had a nice Bible study, and just met some new people that are, you know, we do this cornhole outreach, and a lot of people just come over to us and start speaking to us. It's really awesome. And you know, if they put one or two in the hole, man, they're ready to hear it, everything we have to say.
Amen.
You know? Yeah, and so we had a family that came for the first time, and wow, it was just great being able to express really the finished work and the love of God through the Word, and you know, the. You know, at the end, it's really with them. They're thank you so much for inviting. This is like what we really like to see. Mm. And you know, so it's a lot of fun. We are having a summer harvest here, July 20 to 27, and it's just really a great time, a great venue. They've even put down the vaccine requirement. So,
wow.
You know,
beautiful.
That's amazing when traveling, all the stuff we come around, and we got Pastor Shabelli right there.
Amen.
Oh, don't tell me about that stuff.
Yeah.
I think I had 8 COVID tests on my last trip in Africa, like 8 different situations. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Mm. You just gotta walk around with like Q-tips, you know?
Yeah, Q-tips or sinuses.
But hey,
Pastor Brent,
just love to encourage you guys.
You hear too. That music?
Yeah. We're bringing it down.
Yeah, you
and,
know
hey,
what
thank
that
you guys
means.
Really for all that you do.
Thank you for calling us and giving us that great update. God bless you and Lucy. All right, friends, Pastor Cooper, you got to get us tomorrow. We want to hear about Brooklyn this past weekend. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour in a little less than 24 hours.